I'm Julie Mooney, and this is a special episode of the Teaching Strides podcast series. Teaching Strides is a podcast series featuring Mount Royal University faculty members discussing some of their finest teaching practices. Teaching Strides is recorded and produced in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in Treaty 7 territory, the traditional territories of the Niitsitapi nations, which include the Siitsika, the Piikani, and the Kainai. We also acknowledge this place as the traditional lands of the Tsuut'ina Nation, Iarhi Nakoda Nation, and the Métis Nation Region 3. Today we speak with Professors Sally Haney, Mark Lefebvre, and Michelle Yeo about applying SODL to curriculum design. Professor Sally Haney teaches journalism in the School of Communications at Mount Royal University. A Nexen scholar, her research on the use of personalized learning plans in capstone courses was recently published in the journal Teaching Journalism and Mass Communications. She's also involved in a Trans-Canada collaborative research project that seeks to better understand how journalism students navigate ethics. The first leg of that research was recently published in the international journal Journalism. Professor Mark Lefebvre is a professor in athletic therapy at Mount Royal University. His PhD is in the realm of measurement and evaluation. His research has included studying competency development primarily using a psychometric approach. Recently, he started to employ a mixed methodological approach in his SODL research. His current research interests include competency development with undergraduate students and bringing theory to practice for professional programs like athletic therapy. Professor Michelle Yeo is an associate professor at Mount Royal University with a PhD in education. She has worked as a faculty developer in the Academic Development Center since 2007, specializing in curriculum and working to support faculty members in their teaching practice. She conducts educational higher education research and SODL on student and faculty experience of teaching and learning and faculty development in SODL. Recent SODL projects focus on curriculum transformations. Professor Yeo is the newly appointed director of the Institute for the Scholarship of Teaching and Learning at Mount Royal University. So welcome to Teaching Strides, Sally Haney, Mark Lefebvre, and Michelle Yeo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll get you to start by giving us a bit of a context of where is it that you do SODL? What's the context of your SODL work? And we'll start with you, Sally.
I think I'm probably thinking about and doing SODL all the time. I teach a fair bit. And what it's helped me figure out is teaching is one thing, student learning is another, and the space between is pretty well served when I'm thinking about matters of the scholarship of teaching and learning. How do I connect? So I would say it's always on for me, SODL.
Right, and tell us a little bit about the context of your teaching.
I teach journalism in the communications area, and I mostly teach in the capstone environment. So I tend to have experiential courses where, for example, we have senior students who are running a community online news publication, and their coursework is doing just that. So it's a lot to manage.
Great, yeah, the complexity of the capstone.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And Mark, how about you? What's the context of your SODL research?
Right, I'm an athletic therapist in my background, and so I teach in that area as well. And I'm also the program coordinator. And so my SODL research kind of bleeds into both my administrative kind of role, my leadership role of coordinating a program. And so trying to lead a group of people through some SODL projects, but also into my individual classrooms as well. And a lot of it is being driven by things that are going on in our industry. Our profession is moving to competency-based education. And so we're trying to wrap our heads around how to make that happen from a SODL perspective.
Great. Thank you. And Michelle?
So I work as an educational developer at Mount Royal. So I work in supporting people's classroom pedagogy, but also a great deal of my focus is on curriculum. So that could be at a classroom level or at a program level, and evaluating curriculum, developing it, and also really thinking about curriculum transformation. So I've started to use SODL in that context.
Great. Well, all of these, I think there's interesting intersections of the work that you're each doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll ask Sally, I'll come back to you.
Sure.
To talk about a little bit more about the actual research you're doing in Scholarship of Teaching and Learning.
Well, I'll tell you about one project. It's a classroom-based study that I ran a while ago. And I had a real problem. I was asked to develop a new course. It was this online community news publication experiential course in which the students would fulfill roles as editors. And they would all have different roles. So I was really pulling my hair out trying to think about how do you set up a course in which they're going to be doing really different things. What will the assessments look like? What will the evaluations look like? And so I thought, well, what if we used personalized learning plans where they could truly tailor their learning activities, their learning objectives with the role that they were assigned. And I did that and it seemed to go really well, but it was all rather anecdotal. The students loved these personalized learning plans, loved having a say in how they were evaluated, loved having a say in tailoring the role. But it was really quite anecdotal. So that's when I took it into full-blown SOTL classroom study. What I learned was a lot. Students who used these personalized learning plans, they authored their own objectives. They told us that they felt far more accountable for their learning. They really appreciated flexibility and choice, especially at the capstone, coming up with what is it that I wish to do. They loved the evidence-based approach. And so, you know, that was the assessment piece. How do you begin to assess that? And I said, look, you're going to have to bring evidence to the table and we're going to meet regularly through the term. And we will analyze that evidence together to decide the degree to which you're meeting the learning objectives, which of course I signed off at the beginning. And even with that negotiated evaluation piece was really great. Students loved it. I did some quick evaluation of alignment between where I thought they were at with their grades and where they thought they were at. And in about 70% of the cases, we agreed. And interestingly, about 20% of the time, I bumped their grades up, because what this personalized learning plan reporting did is it actually made some learning that was usually probably invisible to me, and it made it surface, so I could see that they were doing actually many more things than I might not have otherwise known. And about 10% of the time I lowered the grade, and again it was all because all their learning was on the table. It's very interesting. I continue to use the personalized learning plans to this day, and trying to figure out how can colleagues possibly use aspects of personalized learning plans.
So you've applied those SOTL findings into the development of other courses as well?
I find it takes a lot of the anxiety out of complicated courses, but it's also a lot of work up front to make sure that everything is in place. I've shared the study, and I have a lot of colleagues who have asked me about how to contemplate using personalized learning plans in a capstone course. And I've also had people ask me, could I possibly use such a thing in a big first year course where I had many, many more students than what you had? And I think there are probably ways to use parts of that, but I think it might be hard to implement with many, many more students.
Thank you. We'll move to Mark now, and I'll ask you the same question,
sure.
Actually. So how is it that you're using SOTL in your curriculum design and in your research?
Yeah. I think the way we use it in our program is really in a staged approach. Because we are introducing a completely new curriculum, we just introduced a brand new degree program, and so that doesn't happen very often. So that's an opportunity in and of itself. But also, on top of that, we're trying to do a new innovative way of teaching. We're using a clinical presentation approach, which is very similar to a case-based learning approach. And none of our faculty members have ever used that approach before. So the first step for us was really us struggling through what does that mean to us and how do we execute this approach. We all agreed that philosophically this was the way to go, that it would lead to better learning. But that was the next step. Did it actually lead to better learning? We don't really know. And so we also wanted to study what students thought about that. And so they're the other piece, that cog in the wheel of trying to understand where it's going. And so really it's kind of the triangulation between faculty, students, and the curriculum, and studying each one of those components. And so we're smack dab in the middle of it right now.
And can you share any of your preliminary results?
Sure. Well, one of the tools that we're using from an evaluation perspective is a logbook, where students are logging both quantitatively how many times they get exposed to various cases or clinical presentations in a practicum environment, and we're also asking them to reflect on that. And so One of the first qualitative interviews we did with students was related to, are they actually using the logbook and reflecting the way we want them to? Do they find it useful? And one thing that we're discovering is that students really struggle with reflection and going deep into a specific clinical presentation and what does it mean to understand what that clinical presentation is all about. So that's one of our first findings. We have to teach people to reflect. You might think, well, that's just a natural process. It's not. So that whole idea of metacognition and thinking about the way they think through problems, it shapes the way we teach the content now. Instead of just teaching things about the nuts and bolts, like here is a bone and here is a joint and here's how it gets injured, we have to understand how students understand that information and then be able to find new ways to teach them.
Great. Well, thank you. I'll move to Michelle now and ask the same question. So in your context as an educational developer, how is SODL affecting curriculum design or informing curriculum design?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been really engaged with the project Mark just described, so that's one example. Another one is work I've been doing with within the nursing program with Sarah Hewitt and Joanne Bauma, who teach anatomy, physiology, and then pathopharmacology, pathophysiology, which are really content-heavy courses, and they've been working on using concept mapping as a way to help students become more active in their learning. And so that started out as a course redesign project, but we started to conduct SODL alongside of the curriculum developments. I think about it as really, it's kind of a transformed role for the educational developer, which is normally a consultation. But when you start doing SODL together, there's kind of a co-inquiry model that starts to develop. And it really changes the perspective, I think, of everybody working on the project and thinking about student learning. You know, as you've heard both Sally and Mark describe, it changes the focus, I think, on the pedagogy, on the curriculum, on what's being done in the classroom, the assessments, shifts the perspective and makes it, in a sense, more immediate, even though the results of the research might be longer term. It really allows those insights to go deeper and to have more data points, more ways of understanding the student experience than just their success, you know, and their grades at the end of the course.
That's so true. I know two colleagues and I have been involved in another SODL study, and it's really a study where we're trying to better understand how students are walking through the steps of developing a professional identity. And this study involved a lot of reflection and some qualitative interviewing, and we're seeing things about how students understand journalism ethics that we just didn't realize. And so to be able to now share that with faculty and identify some tensions and pinch points, but again, this type of study can really like peel away at the layers of what's going on. We'll probably be knocking on Michelle's door to say, can you help us with curriculum mapping, because the teaching of journalism ethics, I mean, that starts day one, because it actually underpins everything that you do, those occupational ideals like public service, like their understanding of things like neutrality, bias, voice, dare I say, objectivity. So, but we need help now, because this other study has really blown open the doors on what students are understanding and what they're struggling with. They're struggling with the very same things that journalists in contemporary society are struggling with. So I love how it all knits together.
And it seems to have impacts at the course level, but also at the program level, is what I'm hearing you say when you talk about ethics starts from day one. And it's about designing the curriculum to build in those SODL findings across the whole program.
And like Mark said, like when you actually get very serious about weaving in active reflection into all of your research studies, it's huge, because then you really begin to see how things are being taken up. And, you know, otherwise, you really don't. Teaching happens in a classroom otherwise, and you're not sharing this stuff.
Yeah, and it's so superficial sometimes when you're looking at it from an individual instructor perspective. You read an assignment and you read maybe 30 assignments, and by the end of it, maybe you see some themes. But for me, the richness in the SODL projects are really about the collaborations that go on, the conversations that they create. Sometimes you think about them in your head, and we say we know that this leads to learning, but the reality is, do we really know? And until we start to talk to people about it and understand what they do in their own disciplines? And is this a bigger issue around learning in general? And is that applicable across the disciplines? And, you know, it just opens up all these opportunities, I think, that are so cool with SOTL projects in general.
Just to pick up on what you were talking about, Sally, I think that even though we often start SOTL projects within one classroom, we have a problem or a difficulty we're trying to untangle with our students, that it seems to me to almost inevitably lead to these kind of program questions, because people start to think about, well, what happened before the students got to my classroom and what happens after? And I think that's so important in post-secondary programs, because that kind of siloed, you know, egg carton approach to teaching and learning isn't helpful for students. They're experiencing a full trajectory. And so when we start to ask those questions, I think we can start to build curriculum in a lot more robust way.
And I'll just say, to the collaborative working together with co-researchers, that is also a beautiful thing. I know I have learned so much from my colleagues. This is huge stuff.
I'm curious, when you have those collaborative discussions about your SOTL data, if there are really vastly different interpretations, or if you usually fall in a similar place, and what happens if there are really different interpretations of the data?
Well, I it's interesting, because I'm not a qualitative researcher by background. I started working with Michelle, and she brought that component to our SOTL research. And so she and Janice Miller-Young wrote a great article about SOTL and the spectrum of how to measure whether or not we know students know. I think the richness for me comes from the mixed methodology. I look at the numbers because I think very numerically. But then Michelle has really guided me in starting to understand some of the themes that go on with students, with our interviews and our transcripts, and even with our own faculty members. And so I find it a fascinating process to read things independently, and then amazing to watch how we come up with some similar themes, and then also get enlightened by other things that I didn't think about, but I see it after they bring it up.
What I love about that is you're constantly pushing each other and testing each other's lenses in terms of how you read the data, which is really useful.
And I think for me, that's part of the potential that I see in these kinds of projects of educational developers and disciplinary experts, because we do come from those different perspectives, different research backgrounds. And through the process, each program I've worked with, I've come to understand their discipline in a really incredible way that I don't think I would have done. You still have to do that from a consultation perspective, but it's totally different from a research perspective. So I might see slightly different things than some of the faculty members, or what I see, for example, in the athletic therapy project is there are some things that are in common to all professional programs. So the relationship between theory and practice is something that professional programs struggle with. And I can see those commonalities because I've worked with multiple programs. So yeah, that's an opportunity.
What advice might you give colleagues who are just starting out in SOTL, or who are already engaged in SOTL but are looking to make the connection between their SOTL findings and their curriculum design work? Sally?
I'd probably say, don't be afraid to link elbows with a lot of other people. This kind of research probably works best when you're working with others. It's not great for the siloed researcher who's holed up in her office and not talking to anyone but her data.
I can't agree more. That is so well said. I think we don't work in labs. We work with students. And so we typically need to collaborate, I would say, and learn from other people that are experts, whether they're in the same discipline or outside the discipline. But, you know, even attending SOTL conferences, I think, is a big one.
I would say it's about having an inquiry mindset. And I think that we think in those terms in relation to research, but I think we also need to think about inquiry as teachers. And I think that by bringing those two things together, you can start to think about your teaching as a site for inquiry. And then that just opens all kinds of possibilities.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Sally Haney, Mark Lefebvre, and Michelle Yeo, for joining us on Teaching Strides.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a special episode of the Teaching Strides podcast series. Thanks for listening to Teaching Strides, MRU faculty daring greatly. Subscribe to Teaching Strides on iTunes or through your podcast app of choice, or stream episodes from our website, teachingstrides.ca. Teaching Strides is a production of the Academic Development Center at Mount Royal University. Be sure to tune in to Teaching Strides for Season 3,
which will be launched on January 31st, 2018.